We now move into the study session. First item on the study session is to hear presentation, discuss, provide direction on the Escobedo Vista Verde development.
Mayor, I don't think we've come close enough with the developer to really have a briefing today. Where one of their principals is out of town, and the attorneys are just had a chance to visit yesterday.
We'll move hoping, to item 1B.
So we'll just move on, so if you don't mind.
Okay. So. Continuation of the discussion we had, I think, last week on city charter changes. Ms. Spinner.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor and Council, I guess I would like to jump to Section 203. That seems to be the first one where we had a discussion. But if Council has any questions or comments with regard to setting the election dates, the commencement of the terms, or the capital program amendment, I can certainly start with any of those three. No? Okay. So going to Section 203, which is how the office of the mayor, how we will fill a vacancy in the office of the mayor if it occurs. On Monday, the council asked for two different options. One was basically the Phoenix model that says all candidates will have to declare they are a candidate within 10 days of the office becoming vacant. I have that. I have made a couple changes to it based on council comments. And those changes are that it will expressly allow the council to include, when it calls the election to fill the office of the mayor, it will also allow council to fill any vacant council positions that occur because of that. So that has been added. And there were also comments on Monday stating that, well, we weren't comfortable, or some members of the council may not be comfortable with a temporary person filling a position. For example, if the vice mayor ascends to the mayor pro tem and then decides not to run for mayor, if we fill that position for a couple months and then that person loses their district council position because the vice mayor comes back down, do we want to do that? And so I add language that will give the council the discretion. You can appoint somebody to fill the district council member if the vice mayor becomes mayor pro tem, or council can just wait till the election. It would be the council choice. So that is option one.
Yeah, Vice Mayor?
Is there precedent for that type of thing where you would have an evenly split council?
Not in the city of Mesa that I'm aware of. Other cities do allow.
So we only have one council. Yeah.
But I mean, in terms of we've always filled positions is my understanding.
I suppose it's no big deal because we can vote right here with four. We have a quorum,
sure.
And if it's a 2-2 split, the matter fails.
Correct.
Well,
so
I think though that's one thing that may differentiate, because not all councils a 2-2 vote. Our instructions are that you have to win the vote to win the vote. There are others that it may not say that, and so for ours, if you do have an even number, you can lose a vote two ways, and that is to have a 4-2 or a 3-3.
Right.
And that it's not unique, but it is, I think it is something to consider with ours as to why it may not be in the city's best interest to have an even number on the council for any extended time, because we do have specific requirements that you have to win the vote for it to pass.
In fact, you have to have four votes.
It has to be
a majority of the...
So that puts it into a supermajority if you only have six members. So it does change the dynamics of things, which is why I think the council has always moved. I'm just guessing, but I would assume that's why they've moved
fill positions.
Yeah, and then you're exactly right. It's not you have to win the vote; you have to have the four votes.
Correct.
Assuming and that's what was unique. Thank you very much. You reminded me of what we talked about. Our charter assumes that you're going to have seven members, and it defines what the majority is. It doesn't say the majority of those present; it says four votes.
Yeah, and how would that impact if there was a protest on a zoning case? Would there have to then be five out of six?
If you currently now need six votes, so you need 3/4 of a vote, you're going to need all six votes.
All six votes?
Yes.
Yeah.
So then one council member controls what happens to somebody's zoning case?
Yeah. And that's... I think it was those two, which is why the council has always moved fairly quickly to
appoint.
To appoint and get back up to that 7 number, because there are some things that are required. That, Dennis?
Yeah, I was going to just say from a historical perspective, I did serve twice, or we had two situations when I served earlier with council members who had left city council, and we were left with 6 members, and that did create that challenge if there was a legal protest, which is why in each case the council moved very promptly to appoint a replacement.
Yeah, and those are, I don't want to say, like, once again, they're not unique, but they are specific in our charter, the 3/4, and also the 4 votes constitute a majority. In a lot of other places, it's just, majority, if you have a quorum, it's the majority of those there. But ours is very specific on the 4 votes and having the 6 votes to make something win. So, Mr. Butler, you walked up and sat down.
No, Mayor, you made that last was the point. In looking at this, we saw other communities who have functioned for an extended period of time with less than their full membership. But in looking at that, I can't tell you what constitutes a majority for voting purposes in those communities. So it could be that a simple majority of the sitting council might constitute a majority in another municipality, and so they're able to get by with that. But with our charter provisions, so that does add to the complexity.
And to give a graphical explanation, if we have 5 members show up, we have a quorum, we can conduct business. A majority of those 5 would be 3. So technically, if you were just going mathematically, you could 3-2 would win, but under ours, you would have to have 4 of the 5 to win. Because the majority of those present is not what carries a motion. It's the majority of the council.
Correct.
So you'd have to have 4.
Do we want will or shall?
Well, I think it's...
Or not will or shall, but shall or whatever language is in there now.
I think that's the question that we're asking. The last time we were wondering whether, if I'm hearing you right, we were wondering whether we wanted to put us in that position where we had someone for... I think the minimal time... wouldn't be weeks, it would be months, because you still have to meet the timing requirements for state elections, and that's got to be between petitions and early balloting and all that. That's got to be 3-4 months at a minimum, wouldn't it be, Scott?
Right. Mayor and Ms. Spinner may be able to answer this more accurately, but you're right. It's going to be at a minimum months that an interim would be in that position. I think that's why initially staff felt that that a temporary appointment of any means might be in the best interest of the council, since it would be over that extended period of time. But certainly with the concerns raised, I believe that's why Ms. Spinner wanted to present options. But that was, I believe, the original recommendation from staff.
Now, let me also interject. Section 206C, which is filling vacancies for council district positions, which this really isn't, because this is almost, it's the vice mayor is ascending to mayor
right.
pro tem. So they're not, the position is not vacant. But if it ever became
vacant. Well, technically it is, but it's not. I get what you're saying.
Right, because they can come back down and resume
right.
their position.
But so there is nobody sitting there, because the title, the vice mayor moves up to the mayor pro tem.
Right.
So there is no, technically no representative of district whatever.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay.
But 206, so if there was an actual vacancy, even 206 says the council may appoint a qualified person until the office is filled at the election. So arguably the council already has a may, so it could elect to go with 6 members.
I don't see the harm in, Dennis, you've been around this way, and given the discretion, my guess is that a council would be able to decide what is in the city's best interest. Yeah. Okay.
So we'll leave it may?
Dave, you have a comment on that?
No, I think that's a good compromise. And given the kind of talking this through, it's a little easier to understand.
Okay.
Well, Alex, you on now?
Yes, sir, I am, and I agree. I go with the direction we're talking about.
Good.
Okay, then we have, oh, I'm sorry, Mayor.
No, go ahead.
Then, so that's option one. Option two, which the council asked that be prepared, is that the requirement to resign or basically declare yourself a candidate somehow be tied to the filing of the nomination petitions. So option two does that. And what option two says is that Anyone who wants to run for the office of mayor must declare their candidacy no later than 60 days before the deadline for filing nomination petitions, which that is 90 days before the primary. That 60 days I just picked. That can certainly is up for discussion by the council. And the reason I chose 60 was so if somebody resigns to run or declares themselves a candidate, it will allow other individuals who may want to fill this position, who's now going to be up for election, time to collect signatures and get on the ballot. But the council can change that if it chooses.
Okay. Vice Mayor?
Debbie, in either of these options, I think the idea would be that if the vice mayor decided to run for mayor, that the vice mayor's seat, whatever district that was, would be allowed in the next election. Not only would they be voting for mayor, would also be voting for an actual council member. Do these options allow that, or is there a chance that, I mean, I would hate to think that you would have to have two separate elections, or that perhaps you'd be able to, the person would be able to drag their feet and collect the signatures, declare by that time it's too late to have an election for a council member.
It does allow it, Vice Mayor. I added a provision that says if council calls an election to fill a vacancy in the office of mayor and one or more district council offices are also vacant, the council may require that the vacancies in the council district offices be filled at the same election as the office of mayor.
Because I would hate to think that you'd have, I mean, the worst case, too, is that you have several council members, like what happened in Phoenix this last time, run for mayor, although not all of them resigned. And then you have a council that has several members who are appointed for a period of time. So I would like to know that we would be able to fit council elections. I think it's important for council members to be elected as well. But I would like to make sure that the time frame is such that the mayoral election and the council member elections are on the same ballot so that the costs are kept down.
And Vice Mayor, that's why when we tied this to the nomination petitions, the declaring yourself a candidate, there has to be some time period before that to allow people that may want to run for any vacant council office
to collect their 250.
Yeah, collect their signatures.
Well, yeah, because the second that a councilman, let's say the vice mayor moves up to mayor, if he or she declares for mayor, that automatically opens up that council district, because according to this, then they would be running at that point in time. Anyone who wants that seat would know that they now have to start collecting signatures. Now, the other thing that's interesting is if, let's say we decide to go the March-May route or an off-year route, if any council member wants, because it's a special election, let's think of this. Let's say that we have somebody who's in the last year of their council, and yet we call a March-May special election. Would they have to resign their council? I guess they would. Does this clear that if they want to run for mayor, they have to resign their council seat?
No, because the state law and our charter requires.
But that doesn't matter, because that council seat will come up for election in November anyway, if they're in the last year. Okay, I just answered my own question. Thank you.
So I guess I need direction. Does council want to move forward with these changes? And if you do you prefer option one or option two?
Okay, let's, first of all, these changes where, if I can summarize and tell me how far I miss it. What you've come back to do is you've come back to match a council vacancy with the mayoral vacancy, which means that if someone on the council wants to run for mayor, the council can also then include elections for that council seat or council seats in that same special election.
That's correct.
Okay,
Mayor.
That's the first question, to link those. The second thing then is the date, required date of declaration of candidacy, and the one option is 10 days after the resignation, regardless of when that might happen and when when the election may be held. Or the second one is going to the election date and backing up 60 days from the time of that petitions are due and making that the deadline for declaration of candidacy. So 10 days after resignation versus 60 days before required filing of petitions. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Summary? Okay. Let's take the first question first. Last time I think we were moving toward agreeing that we wanted to allow a connection between council opening elections and the mayoral election. Does that still hold? Anyone have a problem with that? Is everyone satisfied with the approach Debbie's taken in this election and send that together? Okay, I'm seeing nods. I even see Alex and Dave nodding.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Dave, you okay with it?
Yes.
Okay, second question then. 10 days, 60 days?
10.
10.
Okay.
I lean towards 60.
10 days.
Okay. I lean towards 60.
Okay.
What did you say?
16 or something like
that. Oh, 15.
I like the 60-day petition scenario.
We didn't hear that.
Oh, I like the 60-day petition scenario.
He likes 60.
Okay, so you like 6-0. I think the majority wants the 10, though. Okay. So let's leave the 10 on there.
So I'll bring back at the next, I guess on the June 25th, introduction of option one, along with the other provisions we've already talked about for the setting the election date, the capital program, and commencement. So the one other issue that came up on Monday is the council wanted to consider moving forward with a change to section 201F. And this deals with if there are less than three candidates for any one office, will we continue to have the primary, which our current charter language requires, or will we bypass the primary just for that office and move the one or two candidates directly to the general election?
And in all fairness to the rest of my councilmates, I think I'm the one that brought this up, so I won't blame them for this also. But and the question is, if there's any appetite to move this forward, we'll do that. If not, then Vice Mayor.
I think any opportunity to, we really need to enfranchise our voters, and any chance we have to get more input on those elections is fair. So I would support this.
Okay. Alex?
No, thank you.
Okay. Dave?
I like it in November much better.
Okay. Dennis?
No, thank you.
Okay. And Chris? Yes. Okay.
And I just want to comment real quick about the reason that we need to go to November mostly is that when you do it in these primary elections, our independent voters are getting disenfranchised the way the ballots are structured between those two primaries. If they're on the permanent early ballot list, they do not automatically get ballots mailed to them. And so they may have to go through an extra step of requesting ballots. They may not be aware that they need to do that. It's an efficiency I think the legislature needs to fix. But in the meantime, I think this is a good approach.
Okay, we're 3-3 right now, so I think we'll take it forward, and we'll wait till Dina gets back
to decide
that.
Okay, so we'll go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead and work it up, and then we'll put it in. And when Dina's here, and we have a full council, we'll decide that.
Is that all right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anything else on these? Everything else is fine. Let's move forward then with the.
The rest of it is all technical.
The ordinance. Yeah. Okay. Towing service contract.
Oh, God.
Item 1C.
Call the question.
The phone's breaking up. I can't hear.
Even if you had perfect reception, I don't know if the gibberish would change. You may still not understand it.
First question, what makes you think this process is going to go any smoother than the last one? You have no hope of that, do you? I withdraw the question.
Good morning.
Look at their faces.
Mayor Smith, members of the council, Mr. Brady and staff, I'm Tommy Trieri, traffic lieutenant for Mesa Police Department. The purpose of this report is to present options for police-related towing services. What I'd like to present to you today is two options. A rotational vendor per zone option and a single vendor per zone option, which is our current configuration. Under either option,
I'm sorry, Lieutenant, why are we not entertaining just a bid for one towing company for the whole city?
We'll discuss that
I think I know it's been a long time, but I think we specifically rejected that and asked them to look at.
I don't remember doing that.
I think these were the two that the council gave direction to pursue, both the either rotational or a zoned single.
Okay, I don't remember that, but.
But we talked about not foreclosing the ability for one vendor to win all four zones.
I'm sorry, Dave, what'd you say?
We did not foreclose the ability of one vendor to win all four zones.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Dave. Thank you. That reminded me. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we didn't say no. We just asked for specific proposals on the other two because we know how the one vendor works. We've done that before. We just asked for more clarification. And refinement of the zoned single and the zoned rotation, if I remember.
Yes.
Okay, Dennis is agreeing with me, so that's a majority in by my count. Go ahead.
You and Dennis?
Based on our presentation, we'd like to use established pricing that's set by the city. This pricing model is based on the current valley-wide fees that are used by several municipalities, and either model can employ the established pricing fee that the fees may be adjusted throughout the course of the contract. Presently on the screen, you'll see the map, what we currently use for the city of Mesa. We broke up into four zones. Zones 1 through 4 are current configurations. Currently have three vendors. One vendor is assigned to two zones. And then under the proposal where we have a rotational list, we suggest a three-zone option. The reason for that is to present a more of an equitable solution for opportunity to the vendors should we go with a rotational list. Okay, under the rotational vendor per-zone option, what we would do is we would create an eligible vendor list through an RFQ to provide services for each of the three zones. The minimum qualifications as listed would be to ensure that each vendor guaranteed three trucks capable of medium and light towing per zone. So if they were on three zones, they in essence would have to have 9 trucks, 3 per zone. We ask that each vendor be located within the city or a county island that's adjacent to the city. We'd make sure their lots were met proper zoning requirements. We'd have a 1-year contract with each of the vendors through the established pricing structure.
Let me ask you one question on that.
Sure.
In most cases, I would assume that the lot is where the trucks are. Are there situations where you have a separate lot from where the actual base for the 20 trucks is?
Yes. In many cases, there are companies that have multiple lots throughout the valley.
Okay. So when we say located in the city or county island, is that the business or is that the lot or both?
Wherever they secure the vehicle for our contract, correct.
Okay, gotcha.
We would not guarantee any towing volume or rotational order. We'll do our best, but there will be no guarantee.
But we will guarantee that they will be in the rotation.
Correct.
It's just, I want to make sure that someone doesn't get in the rotation and there are some guarantees that, listen, we're going to follow a rotation. We can't tell you how many you're going to get, but you will be in a rotation.
We will follow the rotational approach. However, depending on variables uncontrolled, the volume may not be consistent at all times. And then we're going to ask that there's mandatory signage requirements located at the place of business so that the customers, the citizens, know what their rights are, know what the pricing structure is. Okay, the second vendor option, or the second option, the single vendor per zone option, is what we currently do. We would issue another RFP, and we'd ask that each of the vendors have a minimum of 5 trucks capable of light and medium towing, that they provide a letter of credit, they provide business qualifications and references, and they ensure their ability to function on a consistent basis. This four-zone configuration based on the single vendor option, what we're going to ask, and Council Member Summers, this is a change from previous, is when we talked about, are we going to allow one or more vendors the option to bid for the entire city. So do we want one vendor per zone, or are we going to allow one vendor to bid for all four zones and be awarded all four zones?
I don't know, maybe it's a procedure. It seems to me if a towing company was going to do the entire city, there might be an economy of scale there so that they could cover all four zones cheaper. Is there going to be an option for them to bid by zone and then bid for the all four zones inclusively?
Councilmember Summers, because we're setting the pricing, I don't know that you would see that economy
because
of scale.
It's heavily regulated.
Correct. We're setting the pricing so we have consistent pricing throughout for our citizens.
Okay.
So I think the question is going to be somewhere at the end here is, if we bid it out by zone, is the council comfortable? In the past, it's been limited that no single vendor could have more than two zones. And as a question, what I hear is there may be interest in allowing them to compete and be awarded all four zones, if that's what. But there has been a limitation in the past to limit it to two, to allow some opportunity to have some depth. If that, if one of the vendors can't meet the application.
When we go to the bid process, it's a qualitative bid now. It's not a quantitative bid, really, because pricing is set. Mm-hmm. So what are the criteria that are going into the bid?
Generally, it is the business qualifications and the technical.
Business qualifications defined as what? I'm assuming that everybody that shows up has a tow truck, has a storage yard, and would be able to meet the minimum. What would differentiate somebody from another?
References, time in the towing business, community involvement, experience of the manager and the staff, length of service of the drivers, financial strength, capacity, those types of issues.
Financial strength determined by as what?
That would probably be a pass-fail type as we look at their Dun & Bradstreet or other financial reports.
Okay.
Mayor, just out of curiosity, looking at the map, are these four zones? What was the rationale for selecting those four zones? Would each one be generally equally lucrative, to use a term that's coming to mind? Do they generate the same amount of revenue for the company?
In terms of volume of vehicles, they are not equal. They're not equal, all four. Zones 1 and Zones 2 typically are higher in volume, and then Zone 3 and 4 combined are about the same as Zones 1 or Zone 2. The difference and the reason why we had it set up like this was basic geographic need. We wanted to make sure that we had certain requirements set up for the vendor to be able to respond in a timely manner so that our staff isn't on the streets for undue.
Yeah, because we have different...
Let's just remind the council, but and the mayor's done this before, is... The city doesn't make any money.
We don't make
any
money.
Bills.
No,
we're not doing this for any revenue that we generate. What we're really trying to do is get the officer out of the street, get the wreck, get the cars moved out. So for us, it's kind of balancing out,
right.
I guess, a response time
right.
that we can get someone there in a timely
Well,
manner.
And also creating a scenario where our citizens are treated fairly and
sure.
equally. And we want, regardless of which towing company picks them up, it would be nice if our citizens had basically the same, or were operating with the same rules. They may not have the same experience because one company may be better than the other, but at least they're not going in and having a myriad of pricing schemes, having one guy who gives away the tow
right.
and figures out, and we still won't get away from that because from what I understand, there are still differences, and I don't know exactly how we address this, and one of the reasons why I'm a little concerned about giving specific contracts is the back end is where a lot of companies make money, from what I understand. You know, you show up at the tow yard, and a company can be either as loose or as tight with the requirements for you removing your vehicle. And I've heard stories where you show up and they didn't like what your driver's license looks like, or you didn't have this piece of paperwork, or this wasn't an original, that was, they can think of five different reasons why you can't pick that car up today. Well, the main reason why they don't want you to pick the car up today is because if you pick it up tomorrow, that's an extra X dollars they get for storage fees. So, to me, it's a question of how do we create that atmosphere where we can have a standard practice. It's never going to be perfect. I get that. Because, you know, there may be some people have legitimate issues with paperwork, things like that. Some people are looser than others are. That's legitimate. We want to make sure that we don't set up a situation where citizens are being taken advantage of. And I think we took a big step when we went to the pricing thing where we set prices. Even though we don't collect anything, I think the sole purpose of that was to make sure that everybody's on equal ground as far, and more mainly the citizenry. Because I know that we ran into this issue with the bids. We couldn't even understand the pricing in the bids. And our system wasn't set up to accommodate all the myriad of gyrations one could have with how you...
Gyrations?
It's good.
Do you really want to use that?
Do you have a better word? Okay. It's a myriad of gyrations.
I didn't hear the rest of your conversations because I toned you out, but I'm sure I do have a better word.
We had a hard time differentiating with that, which means if we had a hard time really scoring or figuring that out, I can only imagine what a citizen would have when their car's picked up and they have no idea how to understand that. So I appreciate the fact we've gone to the set pricing, which I think solves one of the big problems. I'm going to throw a little kink into this, though. Could we also have a third option where we actually, let's say, decide on a single vendor for Zone A and then go rotation on Zone C? Sort of a hybrid? Or is that just completely blow things out of the water?
Mayor, I think what you do is just create a bigger and bigger administration problem for the officers involved.
Well, answer it. That's the answer I was looking for. Was
hey, Mayor?
At least consider that.
Mayor?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't hear if others are talking. Just a quick question. At one time, we talked about cost recovery for managing this contract. Is that going to kind of, that's gone by the wayside, I presume?
Councilmember Finter, I think what we decided was that if we went down the path of rotational, we couldn't verify exactly what the additional cost would be. So we would bring that back in a year and let you know exactly what our additional cost would be. The original proposal did have a fee in for that, but because we couldn't quantify the cost with any certainty, we wanted to wait a year and make sure we were comfortable with the cost recovery fee, that it was actually covering costs and we weren't making money.
Well, as a follow-up, Mayor, one of my challenges after I've looked at photo radar and some of those things that are all managed by this same group is trying to see if we can get to a professional manager level that is there and consistent for years instead of having folks that rotate in and out of that in that division. So it's just interesting. Maybe, rotational provides a lot more challenges. But if we're using the same old system, that might be a problem. But if we can cost recover and get a professional manager that manages all those areas, it might work better for all involved.
Thank you. John, let me ask you something. Don't we have a rough figure as to what our cost is? I mean, we know how many tows we have a year, right?
Yes, we know how many tows we have.
Yeah, and do you have that off the top of your head?
10,000.
10,000. Are we looking, if we're looking at a charge, would that be a fee on the tour, on the towing company? So, which
it would be a fee that they would pass through.
They would
so
pass
we would set an admin fee.
So is that $3, $5, $10 that, I think we would have a general feel for what maybe our cost. And then in a year we could look at that and adjust it upward or downward?
We could do that, Mayor. Our concern with the admin cost was police feels very strongly that if we go to a rotational and we have to do review and audits of 8, 9, 10 companies, that's going to increase the admin cost.
Yeah.
But I can't look at you and tell you that that's one person, that's a half FTE.
Well,
we just don't know that.
I understand
yet.
That, but we know it's going to be more than zero people. So the question is in this, if we considered, or do you not want to go down that road? Because I don't know why we don't just start collecting.
No, we could. And we could. And we
maybe it's not $5, maybe it's $12.
We had talked about that, and we need it. We can go back and.
Okay.
And I think that is a reasonable path if we want to go down there. We could figure that out.
And we could add an admin fee back
in without any hesitation. And then have to come back each year and just decide if it were maybe.
Yeah, this is one of those no-win deals. And to get back to where we are, frankly, we're trying to balance the interests of towing businesses, which I think deserve a right to be able to compete in our market, especially our local towing services. You know, they've invested and I think we feel some obligation to give people a chance. On the other hand, we have an obligation to our citizens to make sure that they're provided the best quality service, and our police department has provided the best quality service, because we do have a vested interest in this on both those counts. And I think what we found, and as we can tell in other cities who go through the same challenge that we do, some worse than others. We just saw this in Phoenix, where I think they sort of experienced a Mesa moment where they reopened their bid process just recently. This is when you're balancing that, it's very difficult to really get a sweet spot. It's very difficult because, you know, which way do you lean, especially when we don't have a direct financial interest in this. We're really providing a service, except for as it relates to our police officers, and that's important to us. So service levels are the most important thing to us. I have no problem in that scenario putting a charge on for processing that to make sure the system works as efficiently and effectively as possible. I think everybody wins in that. And I have no problem. And I have no problem setting that and then coming back in a year to find out whether that's there or not there. We can always reduce it. We can always look and see if and decide whether we want to help subsidize that or we want it to be completely self-supportive. We can do that in a year, but I don't know if I feel comfortable just starting off with zero and then in a year come back and saying, let's tack on it.
If council wants to go down the path, give us some time. We can come back with that number if that's a concept you want to look at.
Right.
Certainly.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, the set pricing was established, as you know, to ensure that there's consistency and compliance with a focus on customer service. So just as you discussed, based on the fees that we demonstrate here, the pricing structure can be evaluated on a regular basis, on a yearly basis, to reflect any changes that there may be in the industry. And the language within the RFP can also address the ability for us to notify the vendors on a regular or timely basis. Keep in mind that the next slide, these fee structures, this is demonstrated for supporting documentation. The recommended fee structure that we've established in the first column, the pricing structure is lower than average from the other jurisdictions that we surveyed over the last couple of years. We did a survey back in 2010. However, the prices and our recommended fee structure are higher than the average prices that we received in the 2010 RFP.
Mayor, Lieutenant, who sets these rates? The cities?
The cities.
Out of curiosity, maybe this is a bad question to ask, why are we setting the rates? If we're setting the rates, then we failed to get the economy of scale. So why are we not opening this for bid and judging it off of rates and response times? And then we'd have something qualitative, and maybe you can get a better rate.
Qualitative or quantitative?
Quantitative, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Well, we did that before, and that's why we're here.
That's what you asked.
We tried to set rates.
Well, and if you look back, and I would deviate a little bit from what you said.
Well,
you look back,
really quantitative what we did before.
Well, the problem was we tried to take a quantitative. Process and make it qualitative.
Make it quantitative. Yeah,
but if you look at it, look at that the previous thing. I think those were the result in many cases of bidding, because I look at Scottsdale, for example, and you look at why is it that medium-duty trucks in Phoenix are $79 and Scottsdale are 1 cent? Yeah. Now, that's the problem.
That's why I was asking if these were all set by the city or if these
that's
got to
be a bid situation. And the problem is that, you know, how do you value that? Well, the guy who's bidding 1 cent there is making that up somewhere else. I don't see where they're making this up here.
Yeah, but I think we could probably figure it. It's going to be, like you said, it's going to be on the back end, which is...
That was our problem before, is that we tried to create an apples-to-apples situation.
But could you not include the back end fees in that, which are the storage and handling and all that as part of the bid?
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, I'm not 100% sure on the back-end fees. I know that we went to set pricing because when we originally looked at rotational, what we did not want to have happen is for two citizens who have very similar tows to get charged in incredibly different prices by our rotational people.
Well, and regardless of whether rotational or the other, we didn't want the zones to have different fees either.
Right.
So that was the impetus way back when we talked about creating the fees. To create a uniformity across the city.
Right. So then it goes back to whether you're I mean, we don't have to necessarily do zones in that case if we were to open up to a quantitative process where the fees are what are being bid on, and they have to meet a minimum standard of response time.
The problem we had is developing that quantitative standard because there's so many variables. As you can see here, I mean, and this doesn't even have some of the things because I don't know how.
I just don't remember fees being part of it there, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that was the whole problem. The biggest problem is you had a situation here where, for example, someone bid $79, the other one bid 1 cent, and it scored differently because we're trying to figure out the maximum, the cost of a tow. And the way that it was set up, we had a real hard time comparing two when you had that wide of variation between the bids. I mean, how do you look at a flat fee, 79 versus 1 cent versus an hourly fee? Because, for example, how do you quantify an hourly fee? An average tow?
Yes.
That's the only way you can do it.
Yes.
And so you get into creating a hypothetical situation, applying these different approaches to things. And the reason the bid, as I recall, was challenged is because it created such, even though we tried to create this hypothetical tow and score it accordingly, it created such a wide variety of response of outcomes, even though we were trying to be as quantitative as possible,
right,
that we said that even the towing company said it makes it almost impossible to do an apples to apples comparison. Okay. If it's strictly on quantitative, that's why we threw that out.
But throwing out these other cities for whatever, when you look at these, just going vertically here, flat fee, hook fees, daily storage, hourly fee, is that $47 an hour or $47 total? Is that a flat fee?
Hour,
or is
that,
that's
hour.
That's an hour.
Standby.
Standby.
It's $47. Okay. So cost per mile is $3 per mile. Okay. And then after-hours gate fee is $26. So the cost to somebody who's having their car towed after an accident, you would add those lines up, and that would be their cost. Now, there's some back fee costs, lot fees, and a few other things that are reflected here, right?
Yeah, but so you see what happens.
Compare Phoenix to Scottsdale and tell me which is the better deal.
Because Scottsdale's playing, they're going to say, oh, we'll have a flat fee of a penny, but you're charged $12 per mile on the tow.
Okay.
So if you're North Scottsdale and you're having to get towed to the lot, which may be in South Scottsdale, it's how do you compare the two? You know, how do you compare
that's
Scottsdale
the problem. How do you award a contract when you compare it? Or if you award it to both people, how do you then have the – now we get to be the arbiters when people have problems with tows, they'll call us. And I think – We went down this road before, and the reason why we gave instruction to go to a fixed fee is we said, listen, we have enough administrative headaches as it is. We're having a hard time really doing this apples to apples. Why don't we set the fees? Then it's the same, and whether it's a great system or a bad system, it's at least a uniform system. And therefore, we know that Company A and Company C are charging the same thing. We think it's a fair rate because it's consistent with averages throughout the valley as best as we can assign those. And then we can focus on the quality of the service. As I recall, that was the discussion we had, and we gave instructions to pursue this thing. We've already had this discussion where whether we wanted to open it up to price bidding or not, and the council gave directions the other way to go the other way on that.
That is correct, Mayor.
I mean, it just seems, well, Scottsdale's $12. We're still charging $3. If you have a wreck in East Mesa, you're going to spend more per mile.
And Vice Mayor, what I'm saying is that unless the council wants to change the directions they have already given staff, and if the council members want to do that, then we can reopen it.
And it's a study session, so we're just
right.
studying.
But we gave specific instruction to the staff to not pursue the pricing and to go down the path that we're going down right now. So unless I hear from others that we want to maybe go back and revisit a price bid on this. Dave, Alex?
No, sir.
I'm sorry?
He said no, sir.
No, sir. I don't want to go back down that road.
Okay.
Me either.
Press on.
Well, it was a no thanks and a no sir. Thank you, Alex, for your deal. We like that efficiency. Okay. So, and I appreciate you bringing that up, but I think that's we went through and had that discussion.
Okay. I really think that let's try this approach and for a while and see how it goes.
Yeah, Vice Mayor?
I just can't hear him. I mean,
yeah, you're breaking up pretty bad. And I don't think it's the connection. It's...
Because I can hear Alex.
It's your, yeah, it's your microphone. So, Dave, could you repeat what you said?
I think I'm having a connection problem.
Yeah, Mayor,
okay.
I get it. I guess the struggle I'm having is, you know, we try to do something quantitative and make it fair so that everybody can see what the numbers are, and where we seem to get in trouble is that qualitative piece. And with this, with the zone structure, my fear is that we've dropped anything having to do with numbers that you can look at and clearly understand. Now we're heading toward trying to choose people to win zones based on things that are difficult, even more difficult to compare and contrast. So I guess maybe that's just leading, that's just directing me in one decision which way I think we ought to go, but I'll let it go until the end of this.
And in answer here is what I would say is that you still have that issue. Either way, you still have that dilemma. And the problem was, is that before, as we were basing it purely on the pricing, that distorted, and I think what we talked about, distorted the analysis because it downgraded or diminished the discussion on the service, which for the city and actually for our customer is actually the most important, because we need somebody who will clear that site, allow our police officers to get back on the road, and will treat our customers fairly. And we thought that by going with a fixed price, we removed that variable, and we could concentrate on quality, which is an issue in either case, is how I think we decided before. So I don't disagree with you, but I think what we did was...
You know, and then we got to judge on things like how many years our employees have been there. Yeah. It's just killing me.
Okay. A performance summary over the fiscal year 2010-2011, and just to add to this, we've reviewed the numbers for fiscal year 2011-2012, and they're almost identical, very similar. So this is a good reflection on our current program. All of the zones have a maximum response time of 25 minutes. The vendors are all meeting that well within the requirement, such that even in Zone 3, the vendor who is a West Mesa vendor stages more than one truck at times over in Zone 3 to meet that requirement and to ensure that we're able to clear the streets in a timely manner.
Does that include rush hour?
It's across the board, 24/7. So we don't break it down based on time of day. And as explained before, the towing, the number of vehicles that are towed throughout the zones, based on their volume, ones and two, and then you see how three and four combined are fairly consistent with one and two. But because, again, geographically, the challenge of covering that zone three, which would be under the rotational, it would be a significant challenge. And that's why the West Mesa vendor stages a vehicle over there. Okay, some considerations. The rotational system would provide greater equity for many of the vendors than our current concept. It would allow them opportunity to engage in business with the city. There's also a significant increased span of control, which would increase the workload for the staff. Some of this workload would be the monthly reports, the billings, the audits, and this is under the current system. Right now, they have to spend about 30 to 40 hours a month doing this currently with the three vendors we have. Additional vendors will increase the number of contacts that our staff will have to make in order to try to locate the vehicles. Some of the backtracking, repair of loss of contact communications between the vendors and the customers at times that our staff is tasked with doing. And ultimately, there's going to be a need for additional staffing because of the additional workload. Currently, our CAD system in dispatch, the communication system, does have the capability to provide under a rotational system. However, it hasn't been implemented or really explored to a degree, but I have been advised that it is a possibility. Okay, single vendor per zone option, our current configuration. Certainly, a span of control has been easy for us to manage. Just a footnote for the officers on the streets, it's very easy for them to know where the vehicle's going, what to do when they're filling out their administrative paperwork, and for us to follow up with. It provides an incentive for businesses who are interested in continuing business to plan and invest to grow their businesses. It's easier on the citizens when they're trying to locate their vehicles, track down property. Our ability to hold those vendors accountable to the city of Mesa and its citizens is increased. We're able to identify, research, and resolve problems that come up fairly quickly because we've already established some of those systems in place. And the number of complaints will be minimal because the number of variables will be reduced. We currently have the dispatch system that's in place, and we currently have staffing that is functional.
So, Mayor and Council, the staff recommendation at this point is to go with the single vendor per zone option. We've discussed ad nauseum all the differences between those two systems. We can obviously support both options, but based on the administrative abilities that we have, the ease for citizens, and the ease for the officers on the street, we recommend the single zone option, the single vendor option.
Okay, Councilman Kavanaugh.
Well, Mayor, this is, I guess, my 12th year of dealing with towing issues. And as I said a number of months ago, I think probably the best way to ensure good customer service to our officers and to the public is for the city to do it in-house. It also dramatically reduces the chance of someone suing us, a towing company suing us, for not giving them the business. That being said, and I know there are some communities that do this, and I still think it's an option that we should explore to reduce all the hoopla and gyrations that occur with towing. But I at this point, I still prefer the rotational approach. I think it offers the best opportunity for local and smaller businesses to compete in a fair way. I think it minimizes the risk of litigation. And I think the challenges that are identified by staff are issues that can be met. There are other jurisdictions that do rotational that I think have solved these problems. But so that's just where I'm coming from. Thank you.
Okay. Vice Mayor.
Mayor, I would support the first half of what Dennis said.
Is that the part that included the admission of gyrations?
I will support the gyrations. Just depends on who's doing
them.
Thank you. Particularly when you look at if the police were allowed to compete for that competition, if Phoenix allows solid waste to compete for contracts, I think that would be a good model. I don't think we're able to do that right now. It's just not practical. So which one? I'm concerned about the administrative costs of doing rotation. I do like what I do like about rotation is that it opens it up for more Mesa's particularly the small businesses to get involved with the towing contract, but administratively this could be a nightmare. The other concern I have to some extent is when ambulances used to be on rotation as well. I remember stories out of Phoenix, and the problem was that they would the myriad of ambulance companies would disperse their units and center them where there were paying customers and where the calls were happening. So, you know, what ended up happening was the poorer areas of town tended to be underserved. Response times were long, and that cost some lives. Now, this isn't ambulance companies. I don't think there are lives at risk here. This is a towing contract, so we can maybe manage through that. But
I just wonder if there's a way to do the zoning. I think it's far easier to manage. We have to do one of two things. Either we could look at rotational, but set a fee per tow that the city could recover in order to pay for those costs, administrative costs. Maybe that means if we could set a fee that brings it a salary where we could hire somebody that manages that program. Doesn't even have to be a city employee. Could be a contractor, but somebody that would manage that program for us, and that way the administrative burden comes off the shoulders of the police department and is placed on somebody that we can hold accountable, or that we do something, or that we go with the police recommendation, which is to use a single vendor per zone option. My concern there is because this is a qualitative rating, I wonder if we aren't going to just end up in the same kind of argument that we had when one bidder won the whole city, except we're going to hand that four times over, one for each zone. Maybe the answer is just as silly as this may sound, because I've shared it with my fellow council member to the right. He just laughed at me. But you know, maybe you just call the company, you look at the companies, and you say they're either qualified or not qualified, and the qualified one goes into a pool, and you draw straws. It's a lottery. At least then it's fair. So with that, I think we have a little bit of work to do before we decide which way, or at least a little bit of discussion to do before we decide.
Lottery, that's novel. Wouldn't be the only time it's used in. Federal government uses lotteries a lot for drilling leases and all sorts of stuff. And bandwidth.
That's true.
Leases, those are all lottery. Mm-hmm. So I haven't thought of that. That's interesting.
You meet the minimum qualifications. You get into the pool for that zone
pool and
pull
and
it from there. See how it goes.
We draw the lottery numbers. Yep, it's fair.
It's not as
from a
hey, believe it or not,
process.
Vice, that's not as crazy as it sounds. Dave, Alex, you got comments?
Mayor, I do.
Alex,
I would
go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I would go with the single zone RFP or choice there. And the reason why I come to that decision is I've lived the rotational system. It was with ambulances, and I remember experiencing in the field the challenges and the tie-ups and individuals taking calls and then 10 minutes later calling back saying, "Well, we can't take it; just pass to the next." And so having lived that experience, that would be one rationale. And then the second one would be with regard to how this is managed, the unit that manages in the PD with all the other responsibilities they have. I hear crystal clear that the PD is saying that this is going to be a problem or a challenge for them. And I think that's very telling, because I think there are so many challenges in that area somewhat that we need to fix. So I don't want to add any more to them. And so I would go with the zone RFP kind of approach.
Okay. Councilman Richens?
I would agree with Alex.
What?
Who?
I agree with Alex.
Oh. That one I got. Thank you.
Sorry, the ocean waves lapping at my feet are causing distraction.
Ocean waves lapping at his feet are kind of distorting the sound.
I hated you before you said that. Don't worry about it.
Councilmember Glover, you have any input on this?
Well, I really liked what Vice Mayor Summers had to say. And in regards to the lottery, as well as for the rotational option, just because it does provide the option for Mesa businesses, small businesses, but if it has the administration fee, because like the Vice Mayor said, I don't want to place an undue burden on Mesa PD, so if there's some way that we could take that away from them, that would be better, but sometimes it is what it is. So.
No, thank you. Believe it or not, I'm enamored with that lottery idea. And you pay because I think what you do is you raise the standards, everyone plays. I don't feel comfortable with the idea of one company, and I know there are companies out there that can do it, that could physically do it. But I think what you do when you go to one company handling the entire city, you just by definition knock out a lot of other people, and I don't think we should be doing things that necessarily require we go to large companies. I think there's a lot of very, very good, solid, smaller operations that will provide top-level service for us, and if we, the more we can do to include them, even if we award maybe, and I'm going to really muckle things up, to a mini rotation where you maybe have two companies within a zone or something, and it's not a full rotation, but it's one or the other or something like that. But I actually like the idea of defining some very base qualifications, and we get down to it, draw lots.
Mayor.
Do that for a year and see what happens. Yeah.
For clarification purposes, I understood Councilmember Summers to say he wanted a single zone, but we do a lottery to pick it.
Well,
no.
For each zone.
We keep the zones.
But we don't have a rotational within that zone.
Yeah, as I understand. No, I mucked it up. I threw that other thing in there because I think what I heard, and you can correct me, is that from the majority is that we go to the single provider by zone.
Okay.
Okay, so we determine a single provider by zone. And then to add on with what the added thing is that in determining that, we put out RFPs, we define, or I guess it would be
it's
an RFQ. It's
a request for qualifications.
It's an RFQ, it's not an RFP.
It's an eligibility list to get into the lottery for each
zone. So it would be an RFQ is really what it would be,
yeah.
A request for qualifications. We set the qualifications, the standards. We have people, maybe pay an admin fee to participate in each zone. Then we'll find out how many are there. They either meet the standards or they don't meet the standards, and we throw it in and
put it in the lottery for each
zone. We choose by
that
lottery.
Kind of what we're talking about?
We got three of us. Anyone else?
I like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Dave and Alex, is that something? We already got four people who are saying that they sort of like that idea, but
why don't you just auction it off and charge a royalty?
If we could do that, we would.
Mayor, the last question I would have then, if we do this lottery, how many zones would you, we could conceivably pull the same name out of the hat multiple times. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, that's part of the lottery.
So if you get
unless you want to, I see what he says. So you can.
You can participate in all four, but you can only win a maximum of.
You want to leave it at two, which is where we sit.
I think that's worked. I think that feels coming. That gives us backup. That gives us a fallback in case somebody can't do that. But let me hear what my councilmates say.
You're okay with that,
Chris? I'm seeing nods all around that they like that. So you can participate in all, but we leave it as a maximum of two, and that way people have.
So, Mayor, let's do this. Let's put this all together.
Yeah.
Come back very clearly. Minimum qualifications. We'll make sure that the we probably should share it with the industry kind of where this proposal is headed, and we'll come back one more time with council on a study session.
Okay.
Is that okay? Yeah. That way we can lay the rules out. The industry can. We'll try to get to them ahead of time so they can kind of see what we're setting the minimum qualifications, so that if they have any concerns or whatever, we'll know that before we come back to the council. Mm-hmm. Okay?
And as part of the qualifications, and I just thought of one complication to this that we may not consider. There may be a smaller towing company that could easily handle one zone, but of course they want to maximize their chances of getting it, so they'll put in for all four. We need to put something that if you can only handle one zone, you can go for all. You can decline. If you win the lottery, you can decline.
Okay.
You need to be able to service the zones that you
to demonstrate that
you put
that you
in.
Can,
but you can put in for all four, so you have a chance in all four.
Yeah.
But I'd hate to have somebody who really can only handle one zone win two, and then say, "Uh-oh." So they could decline. They
we
could
can work
pick.
On that language.
They could, they could pick which one they go.
We can work on that. Yep. Okay.
I would admire a company that would recognize their limitations and do that.
Yeah, we can figure
okay.
that out. Okay. Good.
Well, Mayor?
Yeah.
Can we require all bidders to agree on the minimum qualification so they can't mince over that?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's yeah. That's
they would have
the lottery.
There would be a pre-qualification to get into the lottery, and they would have to comply with the minimum qualifications to even participate in the lottery. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I just want everybody that enters the lottery to agree on that minimum qualification.
Yes.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Yeah, they would have to agree to it, and we would have to agree that they meet it.
Right.
Okay.
That's good.
So it wouldn't be a because I could see the situation where they don't decline it, but they try to, they win two and they try to make it. We could go in and say, listen, and we could even say we'll let you apply, but. Part of the pre-qualification is we think you can handle one zone.
Yeah, and we pre-qualify them. Yeah, we
pre-qualify them for one, two, or three, one or two zones.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do that.
That would be fine.
And that way they could still be in all four, and if they win two, then we say, which one do you want to serve?
Right.
And then if they'll pick, if, let's say they're only qualified for one zone, because they're a small company, but they can easily handle that one zone, we ask them, okay, which do you want, one or three? Which one do you want? And they'll say, we'll take three. Okay, boom, then we'll rebid, we'll redraw on zone one. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, we can work through that. That's
okay.
We can do that.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. It's a great idea.
Who knew?
That was good.
No comment on the who knew. Acknowledge receipt of minutes of various boards and committees. I have a motion from the Vice Mayor, Second Councilman Kavanaugh. All in favor say aye.
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 Dave and Alex?
Aye.
Okay. The motion carries unanimously. Here reports on meetings and conferences attended. Vice Mayor.
There, very quickly, two events. One, very interesting. I participated in it was almost like a Twitter town hall. It was a Twitter chat on disaster preparedness. It was sponsored by NBC News, their lead health correspondent. CDC, FEMA, and several others participated as well, and folks were able to log on and ask their questions, and it was moderated by the good doctor over at NBC. It was a very interesting event. I think what I got out of that is not only had a lot of fun doing it, but it seems like an interesting way that perhaps the council as a whole could set up a Twitter chat hashtag and see if folks would be interested in maybe a monthly Twitter chat where the council members would rotate through that same Twitter hashtag. So that was fun. And then yesterday, the Sudden Cardiac Arrest Association donated another AED to the East Valley YMCA, but not only did they do that, they did a demonstration for K through 5th graders who were attending a camp at the YMCA on doing compression-only CPR. I would remind council that in my very district there was a drowning last year, and a 9-year-old who had learned CPR by watching military movies saved the life of his sister, who was 3 years old. So these the 9-year-olds, 8, 9, 10, 12-year-olds in that class could really do a great job of doing CPR. I'd also remind people to please watch your children around water. We have had 3 drownings so far in my district alone over the last 2 weeks. One did not turn out very well. We are very fortunate that the other two children, as far as the information I have, are doing all right. So please watch your children around water. Take the opportunity to put a barrier around your pool. Learn CPR. If these kids at the camp can do it, you can do it. And that's all. Other than that, I went to the dentist.
I have no idea what's the first part you reported on, but thank you for that dental report.
No cavities.
Is this a Crest commercial or what? I mean, okay. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to attend the East Valley Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, which is their first annual breakfast, an incredibly large turnout to talk about the marketing potentials for the Hispanic market. Some very interesting data as far as generational information and where Latinos receive their information, discussion. So it was interesting. So thank you to those who put that together. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. We'll see you next Thursday, the 14th, 7:30. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. Talk about
anything else, Alex and Dave?
Nothing from me.
I take that as a no.
Alex was disconnected and Dave drowned.
Yeah, Dave's surfing right now.
Okay. We have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Glover, second from the Vice Mayor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.